I want John Ratzenberger in my horror sequel. And that's what you get with House 2, the second story.
That's right.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
Everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
Hello, everybody.
And from Music Video Sins, Barrett Sher.
Yeah.
Today is another basic ass episode. I don't even know when this is going to air. We've done like four fucking podcasts in 2 weeks because of reasons.
And it has now been 7 days since I ran out of ketchup.
Yes. Basic ass episode today. And I don't, you know, for all I know, this is coming a week after another time we ranted about something. But you know what? God damn it. It's been at least a week. Somebody's pissed off about something.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I'm as mad as hell.
You've never seen me very upset.
Well, mine's a mini rant. I don't believe I've ever had a printer that didn't have some annoying fucking quirk.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
I could rant about the whole toner scan, and everybody knows about that. I'm just talking my last house. I had a printer, and it was like set up to my Wi-Fi network, and in theory, I'm supposed to be able to print to that printer from any device connected to my Wi-Fi network, whether it's my phone, my laptop, my PC, my wife's tablet, and that shit never worked. I always had to email from my PC to my phone and then walk to the printer and stand 1 foot away, and then I could print from my phone to the printer. It was the most annoying shit in the world. So I bought a new one when I moved. This one absolutely will not turn back on after it goes to sleep. So let's say I turn it on for the first time. I print a few pages. After 20 minutes or whatever, it goes to sleep. If I send another print job, it does nothing. Yeah. It does dick. I have to go over, physically unplug it from the wall, and plug it back in, let it reboot, and then print before it goes to sleep.
You can't even like power it up? Like if you hit the power button, it doesn't do nothing?
No.
What?
I am convinced that this is part of why I think I'm living in a simulation, because this is just weird shit that only happens to me. Like, nobody else has this experience where, like, I literally have to plug in my printer, unplug and plug it in every time I want to use it. Like, who would even put up with that for 2 years as I have? But it annoyed me because yesterday I had to print a bunch of shit, and it kept going to sleep on me, and I had probably unplugged that thing 5 different times just to get all my printing done.
Hmm.
That's the end of my rant. I'm not even going to tell you who made that printer, HP. but printer quirks. Why do they keep following me around? Why can't I get one decent wireless printer that works?
Yeah, that was going to be my rant. I don't know how you got on printers, but you have rants about Mountain Dew and internet.
Oh, I looked at your email and stole your rant.
And
I thought I was reading my notes, stuff involving my printer, and I remembered all my printer woes last night.
I'm sitting here going, what are the fucking odds? He's talking about printers. And then I went and looked at your thing, and I was like, Mountain Dew, internet, where the fuck is printers coming from?
I prepped all of that last night when I was a little high and forgot. And then I'm prepping, and I see stuff about my printer, and I thought, well, that's what I wrote down last night because I had all those printing woes. Let me rant about my printer, and I stole your shit.
I'll just add to you what you have said here because it's somewhat similar, but not all the way. But
what an idiot.
I also have problems with my printer that I'm going to rant about.
Stupidest. I don't think we have done now. This would be our 303rd major episode I don't think this has ever happened before.
It has not.
No, because even if you read somebody else's notes, you wouldn't be dumb enough to go, oh, those are my notes. But I did. And I thought,
I'm like, who was it? What's the, there's some movie where a guy is talking about a stand-up act or whatever, and then the guy goes up and does that act.
Oh, no.
Is it funny people? Seth Rogen may like say something to Adam Sandler, and then Sandler comes up and does that material.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah,
that,
I don't
that
know.
That does sound familiar. Well, that did happen in the original Kings of Comedy. Remember where there was that weird boner of like, who was it? Cedric the Entertainer that came out. No, it was Steve Harvey that was saying people that shout out stuff to the audience and do a call and response thing. And he's like, shut the fuck up with that. Like, don't tell me what to do. And then, no, it's Bernie Mac that comes out because he's the closer. And Bernie Mac comes out and he's like, put your hands in the air, now scream. And like, just the previous act, Steve Harvey was like deriding them for doing this.
I've had similar issues with my printer. It's one of these things where the last time I used it, it worked. So what's going on now that makes it not work? Sometimes it is because, for instance, in this case, I've just recently gotten Google Fiber, and I had, I still have, Xfinity just in case one fucks up, you got the other. Mm-hmm. And normally I am so used to a computer telling me exactly the problem. Like, you press print and then it tells you, oh, well, I can't find that printer, or I can't communicate with it.
Dave.
there's a driver issue. They tell you to take a break, driver. You know, they'll sometimes have a message that says, you know, this is, you know, you might want to look into that. I looked at, downloaded all the drivers for this printer that I have. I looked at what my computer was looking at, cause I've had two or three different printers on this computer over time. And I was looking for, how do you find on the printer how to connect to the wireless, how do you hook up to your wireless that you have at home? Because on the menu on this printer, it doesn't say anything about it. It says network. You click on network, and then it's like a bunch of bullshit that I'm not smart enough to know about. Like a bunch of like fucking like letters and stuff like that. You know, SSID and TTD and 33 blah blah, and you know, and all this bullshit. And I didn't know which one to click. And I've been sitting there like, what? None of this is like, you know, hit. None of these were like, hit this, and then you will get to the ability to select a network and put a password in. Nothing was like that. You'd think that's the first thing that would come up when you hit network, right? Mm-hmm. Like, here are all the available networks, including your neighbors. And, you know, you find the one that you have and you put in the password. I couldn't find that anywhere. I looked up something on, this is a Canon printer. I looked up something on the app for the Canon thing where it said, I was looking up, you know, how do you find the network? And it says, well, here are the directions on how to do this. And it's, you know, it's like this, and then click on SSID or whatever like that. And then, and I still don't know what that fucking thing means, by the way. I'm just illiterate enough to not know what that fucking means. And it shows all the different networks, which is, that's not like anything that you use that uses the internet at all. There's everything else says network. You click on it and it shows you all the networks. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make you go through one other step where there's a fucking secret code. And like, you know, you have to knock on a door and somebody slides out and you see their eyes and you're like, what's the password? You know,
password.
Yeah, exactly. Password. Yeah. So it took me forever to find that. And I finally got the printer connected to the internet that I'm using. There was one other issue too that my computer kept on wanting to go back to my old printer that was hooked up to it. Like there was some other little selection of some sort where it was selected as the HP Envy or whatever the fuck that I had at the time. And I was like, how many times have I clicked on the Canon printer on this? Like when I'm printing on like some PDF or some bullshit or whatever, it's like, which printer do you want this to go to? And it always says Canon on it. But somehow, some way, there's some like default thing that it was selected to that had the HP version on there. And I had to click on that too, as well, to get it. And then as soon as I got all that shit, I was ready to print, man. It was fucking amazing. Like, you know, I am so used to everything just being presented to me. Here's the problem. Here's how you fix it. And you go on your way. But printers, man, they really, really want to make this some sort of secret club of some sort.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Would you like to rant about Mountain Dew to get me back for ranting about your printer?
I mean, I agree with your Mountain. I don't drink different Mountain Dews, though. So I agree with it because I see a new one, it seems like, every week.
Yeah, they've just gone too far for me. What I really do want to bring up out of my list that I was that Lamborghini story I told in the prior podcast about the guy who got rear-ended by the chick who then comes up to his window yelling at him, "You just hit my car, you bastard." Because, like, literally, like, in between recording that and posting it on the internet, more video came out that showed prior to all that, he got impatient behind her while she waited for a cyclist to cross the road, pulled out to go around her and absolutely sideswiped the shit out of her car. Oh. And so she sped up and followed and hit him because she felt that was justified get you backness. So my what I really intended to rant about was you cannot fucking trust this fucking internet, man. Like, especially when videos are produced. And I hate saying this because some people will use this disingenuously, but you don't have the full context even when it feels like you do. That looked like an open and shut case. Once the gas station showed the video of her hitting him, I was like, geez, why was she even arguing? Because it didn't cross my mind. Well, he may be an asshole who hit her first. You got to wait till all the facts, people. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, I glanced at your rant and stole it.
It's kind of, I hate that too, the way that, you know, we don't do this podcast and then come out with it that day or anything, you know, and even if we did, that would have come out later, but at the time of recording, you obviously didn't know about this video.
Right.
But it kills me that there were so many people who came onto our various things and said, does he know that this and that? Well, I mean, now he does. He knows now. But you're right. I don't know. You don't know when you see something that started halfway through.
Yeah.
What's happened before that. Yep. So it is a dangerous game that you play. You know, taking any kind of video that cuts in the middle as pure whole fact.
Yep.
Well, my rant is about printers.
Right.
I feel like,
man, I have a rant for you.
This out. Yeah, exactly. No, I am going to take a right turn from what I wrote down because I did write down something about Kumail Nanjiani and a recent article that was published about him in Vulture about the Eternals. But by the time that this comes out, Eternals will be just about in theaters. And by the way, I'm geeked. I can't wait to watch that Chloe Zhao joint with those amazing actors. But I have a practical rant. I usually don't do practical rants, but as I've been on the road fairly recently, I've noticed something. I have no clue how to use a credit card anymore. Okay. You go to a gas station. Used to be. You shove that sucker in and you pull it out. You pull it out as quick as you fucking can. Mm-hmm. But, well, not as quick as you can, because if you do it too quick, it doesn't read. So you got to do this little dance where, like, you get it in and then you pull it, but you got to pull it quickly, swiftly, instead of like just easing that sucker out. Right. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I have become adept at this. I rarely get the error messages you pulled out too quickly and spilled on my belly button or anything like that. Or you left this in too long and now I'm pregnant. What you have, I've got a nice ballet going. These days, you go to a pump, you gas up your car for all those that don't have Tessies and stuff like that. You gas up your car, you get a chip card, which everybody has now. You throw that thing in, try to pull it out, doesn't come out. They lock that thing in. Now, that's some gas stations. They lock that thing in.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
And they say, they say reading chip card. The other ones, most of the other ones, I don't think there's any that do the ballet anymore because now I'm out of practice. My wrist is all floppy and everything. So now you get ones where you do the ballet, you do the move, you do the pull out and everything, and yet they say, no, nay. Leave the thing inserted because it's a chip card.
Right.
And I'm like, the fuck? What's going on here? And so now you have to leave that sucker in, and you don't know. It could be maybe 5 seconds. It could be up to an hour that they keep that card in there to read whatever they're reading and digitizing whatever they're digitizing in that gas pump. And then they're like, okay, remove it. Now you can pump the gas. I don't know what to do anymore. So now if I do go to an old school gas station, which rarely happens, but if I do go to an old school gas station and I put it in, I'm scared to pull that thing out. But if I don't pull it out, then I'm going to get an error. And you get the message that we all dread. See the cashier inside.
Yeah, see the cashier. See the cashier.
No words in the English language are more terrifying than see the cashier inside. I will drive off for another 15 miles to a gas station to avoid seeing the cashier inside.
Yeah, because the cashier, bless her heart, she doesn't know any better than you do what's going on with the gas pump.
No. Flip it off, flip it on. Who knows? So you got that, but then you get the ones where if you pull out too quickly, then you also have to see the cashiers. Now, this is tangential to the rant. God, I fucking hate cards. The alternative is downloading an app for everything, by the way. Go to Dunkin', here's my app. Go to Starbucks, here's my app. Go to Domino's, here's my app and everything. And Jeremy has already eloquentized the reasons of not having apps for everything because everybody knows everything about you. But whatever. I still use the card. Sometimes now, there's the tappy. Do you tap? How long do you tap? How long do you keep it on there? Does it beep at you? No, it doesn't. It just kind of gives you something. Sometimes you still have to swipe. I still got some things I have to swipe at, even with the chip card. Sometimes you insert. I don't get all the card stuff, and especially at the gas pump. The gas pump is freaking me out these days, man, especially when they hold my card. Do you guys haven't seen the hold card thing?
Yes.
Where you get it in there, and you're like, here I go. No.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
No.
Yes.
It says, stay where you are. Don't
nay,
reach for
I
me.
Say to thee.
Yes, you shall not pass.
I also like how I don't think any gas station pump receipt paper has been refilled in Middle Tennessee for the last 5 years.
Nope.
Because it always says take receipt and nothing ever comes out. Ever.
Very true.
Ever.
But also, I don't ask for it, right?
I don't want the receipt.
Sure, but if you did, ain't no way it's coming out.
Yeah, I don't understand. I also don't understand these little signs. They got so many little signs on gas stations. Like you're going to have a chance to read them all. My favorite is the one that's got an icon of you, like, shielding your PIN number. When you type in your PIN number, if you use a debit card, as though there's a guy like 50 yards away with a telescopic lens who not only is going to peep your PIN number, but then he's going to chase you down and steal your wallet.
You got to get the card, too. I mean, it's not just the PIN number, people.
Exactly. I mean, so much about gas stations make no sense, man. I'm with you on this rant. It's a little weird.
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Some of them take the card. Some of them don't take the card.
Were you adept at the whole the slide in and out type of thing? The old in out and out.
Well, as adept as you can be, but it varies station to station on, because some of them have more friction than others.
Yeah. Some of them are worn down. Like
some of them are a little sensitive.
Some have stripe on both sides work. Some have just one stripe that works. And to clarify too on this pulling out of the card and everything, for the longest time, I thought you had like a time limit or something to pull it out, because it was like pull it out rapidly or whatever. And it's really just talking about the, you know, how quickly you pull the card out. It's not talking about, you know, you have X amount of seconds to pull this card out.
I always assumed that it was, though. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
But yeah.
I was always like, no, it has to be in there for 0.7 seconds and then out.
But this
and
is I had a down, new
an unblemished record for a while.
Yeah. This is a new development though, because, you know, I mean, I spent a lot of 2020 not getting gas. I had a 6 month time of not getting gas at all. And only recently, because I've been driving a few more places, I've had to get gas a little bit more frequently. And just the other day, this happened to me. I put in the card and I was like, boom, just about to slide that thing out. And I did slide it out. And it was like, the fuck you doing, Holmes? You know, get with the now.
I'm going to tangentially veer off on another rant. A week or so ago, my wife and I went downtown to that Rise biscuit place that. There's no good place to park anywhere around there. So there's this mini lot, a block and a half up the road. It's tight, small, whatever. I've parked there a million times before when I try to go to this Rise restaurant. So I pull in there, and this is one of these places where you go to the kiosk, you type in your license plate number, right? Mm-hmm. You pick your thing, and then it spits out a thing. You put it on your dashboard, right? So I take a picture of my license plate number because I don't memorize that shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking around over to the kiosk, and I get there, and it's not the same kiosk anymore. There's a big fucking QR code, and it says, pay for parking, scan this QR code. So I scan a goddamn QR code. It takes me to a website, and it says, put in your make and model, put in your credit card number, because I trust this website.
Right.
And all you need to do is drive off the lot to end your parking session. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, this feels shady. So we go to the place, we get the breakfast foods, we eat, with 30 minutes tops. We come back to the car, we drive out of the lot. And I get home, and like an hour later, I open my phone, and it's still on that parking page. And it says, it's still counting my time. And it's now charged me like $39 instead of $10
for
half an hour. And so I refreshed the page. I was like, you didn't notice I drove off the lot. You said you were going to notice and you didn't. I fucking emailed the contact support of this company and said, this is not acceptable. I got an email back in 10 minutes from an executive who said, this is very common. You will not be charged for any longer than the $10 of whatever time you stayed. It just takes a while for our system to catch up. And I'm like, then why did you switch to the system? The license plate thing was working fine with the little piece of paper and the. How are you saving any money here? The website has got to be costing you more than the little ream of printer paper. Why?
You ever notice how almost everywhere you go nowadays, it's holy slow computers. I got to the point of not believing these people anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things that are slow, obviously, but it seems like every time now they're saying you have to go into a computer. I'm like, oh my God, this is so slow. It's like bullshit.
Like, I thought for sure I was going to end up with like $1,000 bill for parking for 4 days or some shit.
Oh my God.
No, this is just how it works. And I guess you either email like me and get a reply, or you just bend over and take it until the next day you look and you only got charged.
Take it up the tailpipe. Did you, what was their thing? Cheesy cheddar bites, biscuit bites, tater tots, cheese.
Here's the deal. They have changed them up, and I'm kind of upset about this because their biscuits, donuts, sandwiches are all very delicious. But the very unique thing was the hash puppies, half hash brown, hash puppy.
Yeah, with cheese though. There was a cheese with element.
Cheese,
to it,
yes.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And I think they must have been sued or something because somebody had that trademarked. I don't understand it, but now they just do cheesy tater tots. They're good, but it's not the same thing at all.
No, that leavening. It's the leavening in the hush puppy part.
Yes.
The hash puppy.
It gives it the heft. Yeah.
I totally agree, man. I could eat my weight in that stuff. That was awesome.
Yeah. Now I had a biscuit that was incredible. So I'm not complaining. Dude, they opened the biscuit, they put runny eggs on each side, and then fried chicken, and then sausage biscuit gravy over the top of that, and then scallions. Oh.
You had
open faced chicken egg.
Hold on. So you had a chicken fillet in between two eggs?
No, it was all open-faced. So I got two biscuit halves, an egg on each side, and then there was just one strip of chicken across the whole thing. And then they poured sausage gravy all over the top and then put some scallions on there. And it was...
And you're just forking that shit up.
I shuddered to think of the human equivalent of a chicken on top of runny eggs.
Well, I'm not...
Or any sort of equivalent. It would be like, veal underneath a steak.
Have you ever had veal?
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I haven't had it in... Well, I don't think I've had it since I found out what it was, but I had it as a teenager and thought, oh, this is like beef, only better.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I still have foie gras, and that's not good for anybody, except for...
I don't know what that is. I mean, I know foie gras in the sense of I never remember which one's the clam. Is it gooey duck that's a long penis clam? I think it is. What is foie gras?
Is fatty duck liver or fatty goose liver?
Like really. Force feed the duck to make that, right?
Yeah. It's delicious. It's delicious. Yeah. Gooey duck is the black weird penis clam. Yeah.
Right. I'm glad we got that straightened out.
Yeah. Seriously. No, I mean, people have been sitting on the edge of their seats.
It's going to be 5 minutes of movie talk in this podcast.
I think so.
Let's do it now.
Anybody got any recommends and warns?
Totes amazeballs.
They're great.
It won the Academy Award.
Oh, for what?
For best movie ever made.
I got one of each.
Boom, all right. Boom, boom. Go for it.
I'm going to start with the happy. I'm going to recommend the Muppets Haunted Mansion on Disney Plus.
Yeah?
It has been... Okay, the Jason Segel Muppet film was the first time in a long time I felt like that magic had been recaptured. Mm-hmm. And then the sequel they made with Tina Fey, of course, without Jason Segel, nowhere near that magical. And every little short or revived TV show they've tried to do since has not really gotten the tone right. And this is not perfect. This is not Muppet Christmas Carol. But they got the tone right for the first time in a long time. And it's Gonzo and Pepe the King Prawn, who's one of my favorite of the new age Muppets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. and they're taking a challenge to try and spend the night in a haunted house. And if they spend the whole night, they win the secrets of some magician. I forget exactly the specifics. most of the other Muppets are ghosts or characters in the haunted mansion. Piggy's in there as like a seance woman. They have a lot of interesting cameos, like most Muppet movies do. Taraji P. Henson is the villain, and she's fantastic. Mm-hmm. She marries men and then kills them, so she's trying to get Pepe the Prawn to marry her. So she can kill him.
She's gonna fuck that prawn.
And he is so in love. He's so in love, okay? And like Pat Sajak and Alfonso Ribeiro are ghosts out in the graveyard. It's an eclectic cast. But Will Arnett is the butler and the host of the mansion. And I laughed. I laughed out loud. It's only 52 minutes. It's not a full film. Although... most Muppet movies are in the 75-minute range anyway. So you can get in and get out and get on with your life. If you like the Muppets, I think you will enjoy this. If you like Gonzo and Pepe the Prawn, I think you will love it because they are the centerpiece of everything going on here. And it gives me hope for where they go next with the Muppets under Disney's control, because this one finally felt like the Muppets again. So there's my recommend.
Awesome.
Do we know who was behind this one? It wasn't Siegel. Didn't have anything to do with it. I did see a meme about the guy who was on the bus in Star Trek IV, The Quest for Peace, was also the director and writer of this. I don't know
Star
who that
Trek
is.
Star Trek IV is not The Quest for Peace. That's
Superman 4.
But I love that mix up. The director here is a man named Kirk Thatcher. And Kirk Thatcher has done Muppets stuff before. He did Muppets Tonight, Muppets Take the O2, Muppets Take the Bowl, Muppets. He's been directing most of the Muppets stuff since Disney got control of it.
He was in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. He was the punk on the bus that got neck pinched.
That's excellent. Oh man, he even did the Muppets Wizard of Oz in 2005. Wow. So he's been with the Muppets for a long time.
I only saw that once, but I kind of liked it. Wizard of Oz Muppets.
Oh, yeah, it's not terrible. It's
You're
not
right.
the worst one.
It's not does it have the music in this one, in this Haunted Mansion?
There are songs in this, yes, multiple songs.
Good songs?
And they're nice.
Yes, I enjoyed the songs, although they're not singable melody songs. They're humorous horror pun songs. It's more about the words than it is the tune or the melody.
That's the deal with that, man. I mean, even the Siegel stuff, I you could probably hum some of those songs, but like there was no Moving Right Along in any of the Latter Day stuff. There was no Rainbow Connection, obviously. There was
that
no
Pictures in My Head that Kermit sings. Kermit's in that Siegel one. Kermit walks through the hall and sees all the pictures of his old Muppet friends, and he says that hook of that song is "Now There Are Only Pictures in My Head." That's a great song. But I totally agree with you. It has been since the Muppet Christmas Carol, I think, that the songs have been as good as the rest of the material.
Yeah, Muppet's Christmas Carol. That was. I don't even know if Treasure Island really had anything that was any music that. Now I like that. I like that movie.
I do too.
But I don't think they had any music that was super memorable. But yeah, it was probably Christmas Carol. Which when did that come out? Was that 90s or was that late 80s? Was that 89?
No, Muppet Christmas Carol. That was 90s.
That was 90s.
Yeah.
What are you saying? 93? Maybe later? 96?
5?
92.
Hey, I even like Muppets from Space. That came out when Chris and I were
It was 99, I believe. Or 99 or 2000.
No, this is good to hear because I am going to absolutely inject that into my veins. That haunt.
Yeah, if your kid likes the Muppets, he'll love this.
Yeah. Much like the Muppets, I'm going right. I mean, you know, we go right into this. You know, I got a 1981 French film. it's called The Professional. It is not the Luc Besson movie that came out in 1994.
No.
I did the movie night with some friends. By the time this airs, it'll probably have been a month or so, but
you will have done another movie night.
Probably have done another movie night, in fact, yes. But he wanted to do a Jean-Paul Belmondo double feature, and if you're familiar with French films, you've seen him before. He was in Breathless. He was the main guy in Breathless.
He was with Brigitte Bardot on the
The movie is about a guy who we see him at the beginning. He's in Nigeria at the beginning of this, and the king or the ruler or the governor or whatever has captured him and is torturing him and everything, but he breaks out. It has a kind of a Cool Hand Luke kind of feel at the beginning of it. He breaks out of prison and he goes back to France, And we're like, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Well, we find out that the French government sent him to Africa to assassinate this president guy that's in Nigeria. And his government, a friend of his, sold him out because the politics had changed from the time that they sent this guy over to the time that he was about to kill this guy. So they to smooth things over, they told him there's this guy who's going to kill the president, so you want to watch out for that guy. But when he breaks out of prison, he comes back to Paris and he's got revenge on his mind. It sounds like I'm setting up this like real serious thriller and everything, but this movie's very funny all the way through it. Belmondo is basically going around, he comes back to his wife. Of course, the people who are looking for him, are going to go, check out and see if he's come back to his wife. Every scene is set up so that he's like, you know, he's very slowly getting his revenge. He wants to get everybody who was involved with all this. But this is just an entertaining flick all the way throughout. Just an absolutely fantastic gem. It's one of those times where somebody introduces a movie to you and you're just like, I've never heard of this before. How would this be good if this is, you know, something I've never heard of before? You'd think that from France, I've heard of every good movie. Obviously I haven't. It's very interesting. Belmondo is just one of those guys who's just magnetic on screen. Just one of these guys that's just constant. He's just so cool. He's just so like, you know, he does all the right things. It's like, you know, I highly recommend it. It's The Professional. It's really good.
Interesting. Interesting.
Obviously Breathless did not have Brigitte Bardot. It had Gene Seberg in it.
Also hot.
Right. Yeah. And he actually, I don't think he starred in anything with Brigitte Bardot.
Is funny because there's a part in the next movie that I'm going to recommend where somebody, a kid like finds out that he's from France and he's like, aha, oui, oui, Brigitte Bardot. He's like, because at first he thinks he's an American and he's like, aha, you know, he starts saying all these American things. And then he's like, no, I'm from France. And he's like, aha, oui, oui.
Nice.
I didn't say much about the movie because that's one of those that you really want to discover a lot of the things for yourselves. And it's, you know, it's a simple revenge type of movie where he's going place to place, meeting people who have burned him in the past, and he's got to do it just so, or else he won't be able to pull it off. And there is one point in this movie where there's a standoff between him and one of the last guys he has to get through, and they're just standing there kind of like it's in the old west, and this has got an Ennio Morricone score to it, by the way. They're standing he and this other guy are standing in the middle of the street or a sidewalk looking at each other, and there's this guy who comes in with a bunch of flowers and he's like, hey guys, I was just wondering where this street was, and they just keep looking at each other. They don't say anything. He's like, guys, I mean, I'm really like late. Could you guys, and they just keep looking at each other, never once acknowledging this guy. And then finally there's like, they pull the weapons out, they shoot and everything. And the guy with the flowers is just like backs up and falls over the stairs. I love stuff like that.
I got to get back into the, now this was in the 80s. Is that what you said?
Yeah, it was 1981.
Yeah. I've got to get back into the French cinema. particularly you mentioned Breathless, the Godard and stuff like that, on Mubi or.
And I think you would like. I think you would also like Alphaville, which is another one of the Godard movies. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. That's maybe I'll just have a weekend. I'll get some baguette.
That's right.
You should have some French fries.
And French fries
dressing. French bread.
All right, everybody, it's time to talk about Shudder.
I mean, not like cold, even though it is kind of cold, but it's more like chilly, like I'm being walked through by a ghost.
That's right. That's Shudder. Right. You're walking. Yeah, you're whistling past the graveyard is what you're doing. I tell you what, they have a TV version of Creepshow. They have new episodes of Creepshow, the third season of this going on right now. I love anthology stuff. The very first episode had Tobin Bell in it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And
friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Tobin Bell. We've interviewed that guy. So like first episode of Creepshow has like Tobin Bell and Giancarlo Esposito in it.
Ooh, that's a spicy meatball right there.
That's right. That's the very first episode of the entire series and everything. And I just love, there's something in a little warm blanket with these anthologies. I love them because they're in and out like, boom, like this is, you know, we're going to scare you real quick. And then we're going to go to the next story and then we just move on. I love that type of
thing. Is it an anthology show to show or is it anthology season to season?
There's two mini episodes per episode.
I got, oh, very much Twilight Zone-y.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Kind of like that. Yeah.
Not like that American Horror Story where every season is a different story.
Right.
Episode. Yeah. Yeah. That's my jam. That kind of stuff right there. I know Jonathan's been watching this Creepshow series and really digging it.
Yeah.
He highly recommended it to me. So
they're just so much fun, man. I mean, they just, like I said, it's in and out with their, you know, like, here's the story, bam, we're going to scare you. Then boom, we're going to go to the next one. And I love that type of thing. So
Shudder has become, I love how much goodwill that they've garnered since they have they've started. So Shudder is essentially a horror / supernatural / sci-fi, mostly horror streaming service that's curated for like the best options of this, and. You know, I've heard so many people, you know, horror fans in particular, but like some even non-horror fans are like, I'm going to get Shudder because they've got good stuff on there. I mean,
and they have good original programming too.
Oh, totally,
right?
Totally. Like,
they make their own stuff. They scoop up stuff. They're not just you know, trying to collect what's out there. They're trying to create, and that's the stuff that I see most on Twitter that people are getting excited about is the stuff that's, you know, a Shudder original, or this is the only place you can see this movie. And I think that's something they have going for them, at least in the horror space, that nobody else can really compete with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fantastic. And you know what? I've already got Shudder. I've had Shudder for a long time. And you can watch it on your iPhone, your iPad, your Xbox One, like your TV, your microwave. You can't watch it on your microwave, but like probably if you have one of those fancy refrigerators that has like the screen on it that they used in Silicon Valley to hack Pied Piper and all that stuff. I think yes. I've gone too far down this rabbit hole, but you can watch it anywhere. But I've already got it. But if you haven't gotten Shudder, the reason to get Shudder, I'm so excited about this, is House and House 2, the second story. Yes. I can't.
Why those two movies, Barrett? Why?
I don't know. And I'll tell you why. Because I haven't seen them, but they've been built up so much because that it's so ridiculous. These are campy horror movies. These are horror movies like you know, you feel nostalgic for. You talk about a warm blanket like Chris was talking about before. It's like this is what I'm here for. I want over the topness. I want people who have a tongue planted in their cheek. I want John Ratzenberger in my horror sequel. And that's what you get with House 2, the second story.
That's right.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so excited about this. But they also have, you know, very new first run stuff. They've got a new VHS 94 anthology.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The VHS series I am on board with.
Kind of fun, yeah.
I love that stuff. Chris mentioned the Creepshow, all the horror classics that you know and love. This is a great service. So you go to Shudder, Shudder, not like you're clicking a camera. It's Shudder, like you're, you know, freezing because you whistled past a graveyard. So you go to Shudder.com. If you enter Sincast, the promo code Sincast, you get 30 days free. You get 30 days free. I don't know if you properly heard me, listener, but you get 30 days free. That's no cost.
That's a lot.
The last time that I checked, free meant you don't have to spend anything. And that's 30 days.
30 days.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I said it like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But go to Shudder, all right? Do the Shudder thing on whatever device that you have. Enter Sincast is your promo code. That is 30 days. You're going to get all the Halloween content that came out right before this aired. You're going to get all kinds of creepy fun stuff that you can have throughout, you know, the fall season, which is a perfect time to watch horror content. Let's all be honest with yourself. Stop mm-hmm. fooling yourself, people.
Mm-hmm.
Shudder, Shudder.com, and then enter the promo Sincast, 30 days free, baby. You know, I wrote it down as a rec-a-worn, and I think it still is. I want to fast forward into the future when this does air to see if anything wholesale has changed, which may have happened. But it's Dave Chappelle's The Closer. It's the stand-up special.
Mm-hmm.
It's the stand-up special. It's the stand-up special that a lot of people have talked about that's on Netflix, that was on Netflix, at least as of this recording.
Mm-hmm.
And it is aptly named in that it's the last one that he's going to do for Netflix on this current contract. He did Sticks and Stones. He did Bugs in My Ear. He did, like, Spiders in My Crotch or something like that. He did what has he done? Like four or five of these?
He's done a handful of them. Yes.
Yeah.
I think this was his sixth.
This was his sixth. And it was all fairly recent too. It was as of like 2019 or so until then. And I've watched all of them. Chappelle has always been one of the most, fascinating stand-up comedians that I've ever seen. When he's on that first special that he did for DC, that in Washington DC, where he's from,
yeah, Killing Him Softly.
Killing Him Softly was one of the funniest things. It's up there, honestly, with maybe not as big as Eddie Murphy Raw or Delirious, maybe not Pryor's bigger things, but I would put that up against any Chris Rock special. I would put that up against a lot of the Jeff Dunham stuff.
This fucking guy.
I couldn't even get through that. I tried. I didn't even get through that.
I'd put him up against Killer Bees.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
No, but I would put that up as one of the better stand-up specials as ever. If you haven't heard for some reason, in his previous Netflix special, which I think was called Sticks and Stones, the Dave Chappelle one, he got into some hot water, didn't cancel it, didn't have any repercussions really whatsoever, but by talking about trans people and saying that, you know, yeah, sure, I support them, but also, and anytime there's a but also, even if it's a comedian, probably going to be a little disingenuous. With you're going to inject your own opinion in here, and it's not going to be observational. It's going to be opinion based. Stand up. Do you? That's fine. In this special, I watched it because again, I'm trying to rekindle the glory days of Dave Chappelle, which the glory days were spectacular. Now his special, the George Floyd special that he did right after George Floyd was murdered, 8:46, was special. And it's special because Dave Chappelle was talking about, in my opinion, Dave Chappelle was talking about something that was absolutely first and foremost in his mind. He had thought so deeply and hard about over many, many years. And it wasn't always funny. In fact, it was frequently not funny. It was straight from the heart. It was straight mm-hmm. from the heart. He was talking about how angry he was. He was talking about how fucked up this whole institution is and everything. And it was compelling. I've watched it now probably three times since. And so after that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch this. We had mentioned it actually on an earlier Sincast, and Jeremy had mentioned how he's not going to watch it because of the things that he's read about it, specifically about Chappelle's comments with trans people. And so I was like, I'm glad I had that kind of context warning going into this. This special is so frustrating, man, because for a certain period of time, Chris, have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
For a certain period of time, he leans into it. For a certain period mm-hmm. of time, he does not. And it's funny. And you remind yourself that, hey, Dave Chappelle can be funny. He talks about, you know, his hometown in Ohio, and there's a hilarious bit about strippers in there. His affectations, his mannerisms, everything is on display there. And there's a brief glimpse of how funny Dave Chappelle still is. But then he leans into the trans stuff. Here's the thing that bothers me about Dave Chappelle is that he is known now, especially after that George Floyd special. He's known now as a very deep thinker, as a guy that you take seriously, which is funny because he's a comedian. But a guy that thinks deeply about things. And so when he says something about, here's my opinion about trans people, some people are tending to listen to him and validate him. And even though, and especially because he's detailed the black experience in America, of which obviously I have no idea about, that, you know, when he compares the two, you have to give it a little bit of credence because there is a lot of weight and there's a lot of weight to his experience and his thoughts on experience. But also his stuff on trans is so tone deaf and it's so embarrassing and it's so dismissive and it makes me absolutely furious when he tries to couch this as, this is something I've thought about for a long time. And when he says stuff like, you're only a minority until you get to be white. I'm going to leave that there because I have no further comment on that. But it's stuff like that that makes this different than what he's done in the past. He really leans into the controversy. And to me, for the first time, I think, to me, it appears as though he's doing that for controversy's sake.
Yes.
And that I'm not down with.
Yes. In fact, did you see the Netflix CEO a few days ago came out and said, we're not going to pull the special. Mm-hmm. Dave's last special is one of our most watched specials of all time or something like that.
There you go.
Very clearly laying out, you know, and then, of course, Dave has a documentary coming soon about him. Mm-hmm. So I think part of this is keeping his name in the public. He premiered that documentary at the Hollywood Bowl after this special dropped with people like Brad Pitt in the audience, a crowded house of A-listers. Mm-hmm. And he got a standing ovation when he walked out.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the problem is that the wrong people are staying silent. But to me, this feels like a comedian's version of don't tell me what I can't do. He got a little heat for trans and LGBTQ jokes in previous specials. And this special feels like, again, I have not seen it. I have read extensively the jokes. I know what's in this special even without having seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And this feels like doubling down. This feels exactly like doubling down.
It's a troll.
I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, it's a troll job.
And now we've got Keenan Ivory Wayans, who, thank God, he's so relevant, comes out today and says, I think with that special, Dave Chappelle freed the slaves. As comedians, we've been slaves to this woke culture.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. It's just there's so much.
Oh,
listen,
no.
I think Dave is a deep thinker. I think Dave is often very insightful, but I think Dave started drinking his own Kool-Aid a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I think there's something that happens where you begin to think, I am important.
There's a line in there in that special where he's like, how do you know to put your money where your mouth is? And he's like, well, I know because I left $50 million on the table with Comedy Central when I decided to bounce. And I'm like, that is not apples to apples, yo. Apples to apples. You can't do that, especially if you're speaking for an underrepresented population, a population that's been repressed for so many years.
I read an excellent piece,
but goddamn,
is the website called The Root, African American Centric Cultural Journalism site that I read sometimes.
Sounds familiar.
But they criticized this because apparently in the special, Dave talks about a trans person that he became friends with,
mm-hmm.
and this article was saying this smacks of when sometimes white people say, I can't be racist because I have a black friend.
Exactly.
He's using the same logic he would not allow to be applied in a different context. And it's just ignorance. It's you know, weaponized ignorance because his audience is so huge, but mm-hmm. he just needs an education, and I hope he gets it. I hope somebody who gets it is able to say to him, here's what you're not understanding.
Or what is more likely, this is not his actual thoughts, and this is a performance. And maybe this is all bullshit. And if it is, man, find some better art to do.
How is that any different than what Tucker Carlson does in terms of like being performative?
You said it. Offending for the sake of promotion.
It's also incongruent to what he's done in the past.
Yeah.
He has made you look at things in a different way a lot of times that, you know, comes from his own experiences and other people that he knows and everything like that. I don't know how, I think when you guys are talking about doubling down, there's a sense of, you know, I took a lot of heat for that last one. How can I turn this into something that is, you're sort of obsessed with trying to get people to look at it your way in some way. You're kind of trying to get it to where, look, you know, I'm not a hateful person here. Just look at it this way or whatever, but he doesn't have a trans experience and neither do any of us who are talking here. We mm-hmm. don't have that experience. I read a whole Twitter thread the other day of someone who said, we are not offended. I'm a trans person. We are not offended here. And just listed 38 people who got killed for being trans.
Yeah.
Who said they are not offended after each one of the bios that he put out for each one of them. And so it kind of also, there's a lot there where I think it's just, I've gotten called out for something that I normally don't get called out for on, even on controversial topics. How can I turn this into something where people will be like, oh, okay, well, I didn't look at it that way.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the same grounding he's had before.
And it has worked before. It has worked before. And it has really mm-hmm. opened a lot of people's eyes. And I mm-hmm. do appreciate that. I ain't working on this.
Let me also, you know, bring up too, I won't mention the name of the person, but I've talked to a stand-up comic and I'd seen some of the things that they had done. And I was like, I asked that person, I was like, can you still do material like you're talking about? Now we're not talking about here. I don't know. I would say that it would be offensive. If you were to have this, as a big special or whatever, but, I asked him if, you know, you can still do that. And he goes, absolutely. I can still do these jokes mm-hmm. because there's an audience for it.
Mm-hmm.
So people worried about Dave Chappelle getting canceled and you know, or Chappelle himself. I don't know if he's come out and said people are going to cancel me over this or anything.
Oh, he's
like
egging
that.
It on. Special. Yep. He's egging it on.
There is absolutely, he is not going to get canceled. Barrett had a rant about this a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as canceled. You have to go. You have to go really, really bad before you're canceled. You have to be Harvey Weinstein or Kevin Spacey, people who have done just monstrous fucking things.
Even Bill Cosby's going to go on a tour, and you know people are going to buy those tickets, man.
They sure as fuck are. Yep. So there's no such thing. There are people who individually will quote unquote cancel somebody or whatever, but that's the same thing we do with anything we don't like, right?
Yep.
I didn't like Twin Peaks. I was one of the many who didn't like Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks got fucking canceled.
That's real canceling. People were on Twitter fairly recently canceling, like deleting all of their Eric Clapton songs from their iPhone. Fuck you, dude. First of all, you probably already paid for that shit, so it didn't really matter to him. Second of all, he's on a tour of red states right now, unvaccinated. Well, actually, he is vaccinated, but of largely unvaccinated states, making hand over fist dollars and getting adulation from everyone, including the governor of Texas. He don't give a fuck what you're thinking about canceling him.
There's no such thing. There's just no such thing. You can't. You have to, like I said, you have to actually, I think you have to cross a line into the actual physical damage or mental damage of a lot of people before you get into the canceled territory. Mm-hmm. And people keep on saying, I'm worried about, you know, oh my God, you can't say anything. Fuck you. Yes, you can. You can say anything you want. Mm-hmm. You're going to have an audience for it. You're always going to have people who love you. Chappelle, you know, there could be Netflix could take this special down and he's going to go on tour. I think he's going on tour with Joe Rogan, and everybody in the fucking world is going to go watch that.
He's playing
comedy
fucking arenas. He's not playing. Yeah. He's not playing clubs. He's playing arenas. He's making millions off of this, as is Rogan, who is himself gone through the, oh, I can't. I'm so worried about cancel culture.
At least Chappelle has a history of occasionally being insightful. Like Rogan doesn't have that to fall back on. That dude just spouts whatever comes into his brain and 10 million people listen.
Are you forgetting his time on The Man Show?
I did. I'm sorry. Fear Factor, I did. I forgot about
that. Yes. That's a cat that thinks deep about stuff.
If you're not going to go all the way back to Suddenly Susan, I don't want to talk about it. News Radio. Which one was he on?
He was on News Radio.
Fuck.
He may Suddenly have been Susan. On Suddenly Susan. Maybe there's a crossover where he showed up as the handyman for Brooke Shields.
News Radio is great, but like that Just Shoot Me, Suddenly Susan era of sitcoms, they all were the same.
Well, Caroline Ray was in one, wasn't it like Caroline in the City or something like that?
Well, that was, wasn't that Leah Thompson who was in Caroline?
Leah Thompson, that's right.
Leah Thompson.
That's how interchangeable all this stuff is. But yes, the only reason for the wreck is that there's still a sliver of Dave Chappelle in there that is funny, and man, that cat is funny. But I just wish he would just,
you know, Eddie Murphy had the same issue with it between his specials too. I think it was in Delirious that he was talking about gay people.
And
by the time Raw came around, he had to address it, you know, and of course he joked about it. I mean, I don't think he went, and I still haven't seen the Chappelle special, but, he didn't dwell on it. It feels like Murphy went ahead and did his joke and then went on.
Yep.
Whereas Chappelle was like, how can I make this? How can I turn millions of people to my side?
Yeah. There's a reason that we're talking about it today is that he made, you know, a third to a half of his act about this controversy instead of writing funny shit. And I think that's lazy. And I think that's self-serving. And do your thing, man. Do your thing. Maybe you're maybe you're funny. Maybe you got a lot of support for this special. It ain't me. It's a little bit of funny, but a whole lot of get out of here.
All right, everybody. It's time to talk about BetterHelp.
BetterHelp.
Yelp. If you've listened to this program a few times, you've probably heard us talk about BetterHelp before. BetterHelp is an online therapeutic counseling resource for you. For you, listener. I'm pointing at you.
Me?
All right? Look, if you've heard this before and you're like, I've got some stuff I need to work on. My mental health is not great right now. I'm not feeling great. Maybe I'm getting, on the angry side. Maybe I'm getting on the anxious side. Maybe I'm worrying too much. Maybe I'm drinking too much. Maybe I'm doing this kind of thing. And I want to address it, but I don't know how. You're not alone, people. That's something I really want to stress. You're not the only one that this applies to. That's why you have resources like BetterHelp. Online counseling service with licensed professional therapists that can walk you through this process. You access it from home, from your computer, from your tablet, from your phone. You have your own counseling room where you book appointments, you message your counselor, and you're off and running. And it is one of the best decisions that you can make is taking the leap into bettering yourself, making yourself happier, especially if there's something that you feel like you can work on to improve your mental health. BetterHelp is there specifically for this. And again, you are not the only one. Millions of people are signing up for BetterHelp right now for a very good reason.
And you're going to learn things that you didn't even intend to learn that are helpful. Like, I went into therapy initially a bunch of years ago with a very specific question. Why am I X? Why am I like this? This one specific thing that I do. Why is that? And as we start digging through that, I started learning about trauma and how trauma can come in so many different forms for so many different people. And a lot of my little, what I thought were idiosyncratic behaviors, I've come to learn were behaviors born out of trauma, traumatic experiences. Like, I'm deathly afraid of bees, right? And I just thought, well, I've always been afraid of bees until my brother reminded me that one time when I was like 7, we were playing this game where you kick the ball down the hill. I'm going off the rails, but stay with me. And then the other guy has to race after it and try and stop the ball before it gets to the bottom of the hill. And you do that by sliding and hooking. It was a great game. It was rad. One day I was playing this game and I slid down the hill and I hooked my foot around and I stopped the soccer ball, volleyball, whatever it was. But I felt this sharp pain in my belly and I looked down. It was one of those giant bumblebees and he was stuck on my belly.
Oh, no.
And I began to realize that and a couple other incidences that's why I'm deathly afraid of stinging insects. It's because I had these minor traumatic experiences. And I'll tell you what, even learning that has made me less afraid of flying stinging insects.
Yeah.
Like, there was a minor nest of wasps out by my barn, and I just kept walking by it all summer. I didn't care. I didn't freak out. Anyway, the point is therapy will reveal things to you that you didn't even know you needed to know that will help you improve your day-to-day life.
A lot of times, counseling is a ridiculous charm. Remember the ridiculous charm from Prisoner
ridiculous,
of Azkaban?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a ridiculous charm. So Remus Lupin has, when he is Defense Against the Dark Arts class, he has this armoire full of a boggart, which is the scariest thing that you can ever think of. And the ridiculous charm turns it into something that you can manage, that you can laugh at, and specifically for that spell. But you can manage, right? Not to say that that always happens, but that's kind of the point of counseling and therapy, is to take those big, scary things that have been lurking around your brain, whether you even know them or not, and make them manageable.
Take back power over them by understanding how they work.
Yeah, take the power out of them, rather shifting that balance. And it's tremendously satisfying when you look at something that looks so huge. Everybody's had a project that when they first start, they're like, ain't no fucking way I'm going to be able to do that. But bit by bit, you get it done, and pretty soon you're at the end of it. It's the same thing with counseling. If you haven't done it, try it today. Go to betterhelp.com/sincast. You get 10% off your first month. Everything is right there on that site through that URL. You sign up, You answer a few questions. They contact you within 24 hours. Bada bing, bada boom. Match with the counselor. And you're off and running. This is a great service, and we will continue to let you know about it because we believe in it, and we have heard good things in response to it. I'm not only a what does the hair club guy say? Anyway, I'm a client.
I'm not just a spokesman. I'm also a customer.
We're not a spokesman. I'm also a client. So I'm going to go with that. And I have appreciated it and loved it ever since I signed up almost 2 years ago. BetterHelp, HELP.com/Sendcast. You won't regret it. Do it now. Don't wait.
I recently got I knocked something off my stack of shame. A movie that is a classic that I have never seen until 3 days ago when I watched Raging Bull.
Raging Bull.
It was okay. I'm gonna make it a recommend. But I mean, Rebecca Warren.
Hold on,
is it Barrett's favorite movie or something?
You're Rebecca Warning Raging Bull.
I just can't Raging fully Bull. Recommend it. I just can't fully recommend it.
You're Rebecca Warning Raging Bull.
It insists on itself, Lois.
I found it disjointed. I found the pacing and the time jumps to be disorienting. I fucking hate Robert De Niro's. I fucking hated everybody in this movie, but I mostly hated Robert De Niro's character. The log line for this movie should be, look what an asshole this guy is to literally everyone.
Well, was Travis Bickle nicer than Jake LaMotta?
Not a big fan of that movie either.
Oh, you're not?
No. I mean, what I want to say about this is probably similar to what I would say about Taxi Driver. The performances are great.
Yeah.
There's no denying that Pesci's outstanding and De Niro's outstanding. And who's the woman? Is it?
It's Kathy Moriarty.
Kathy Moriarty. She's even great. I think it's shot very well. Some very interesting camera work. I don't quite understand the black and white choice, but it's still shot very well. The performances are outstanding. I just didn't enjoy watching the journey. I didn't enjoy the journey of this movie. I know I say this a lot. I don't always have to have somebody to root for, but give me a glimmer of why people like this guy in the beginning. Give me a glimmer of what it is. Does she fall for him just because he has a really nice car and Pesci says he's going to be a champ? Because it seems like right after that, they start fucking and then they get married. And I'm just like, has he done one nice thing to her? Has he been nice to her? Has he paid her a compliment? Has he ever said thank you to Joe Pesci? Give me one bright fucking moment so that when I get the boxing scenes, I have a reason to root for anything other than to him have his ear bitten off or face bashed in.
You fucking my wife.
It seems like the movie was much more concerned with the family drama than the boxing stuff, which is fair. That's fine. Maybe it's just not my bag. I'm not trying to say with my Rebecca Warren that I think the movie is bad. I'm trying to say I can see the talent of the filmmaking and the acting, but I did not enjoy this movie. I did not enjoy it.
Well, so what does that say about me? Yeah. I mean, you didn't enjoy it.
This is an awkward situation for me because it's probably been about 10 years since I've seen this last.
It's been a long time for me as well.
I remember the boxing scenes being the standout to me. And I think there was a lot of realism to this in that De Niro really, really trained.
Because he has, believe Scorsese puts the camera in the ring.
Yeah.
And when the punches are coming, he's basically punching the camera, essentially, from what I understand.
There was a lot of reality there. And also what I remember, now you've seen this much more recently than me, Jeremy. I remember him being a lot more not Rocky Balboa at the beginning, you know, big puppy dog that's trying to do his best or anything like that. But I remember him being, you know, a lot more humble and a lot more hardworking and a lot more where, you know, I'm trying to get this done with the help of, now Pesci is his trainer, right? Trainer slash friend.
It's his brother. But yeah,
his brother slash trainer promoter. Slash friend. Yeah. But yeah, so he, does it seem like he's an asshole from the very beginning?
It did to me.
Yeah.
It did to me, especially to Joe Pesci, who is doing, other than in the ring, he's doing all the work for this guy's career. And yeah. The whole movie, he's just insulting Pesci left and right. You're stupid. What do I keep you around for? And, you know, clearly Scorsese is drawn to these types of antagonistic protagonists, maybe I should say, because it feels like a lot of his movies feature prominently terrible people, which is fine. I don't think that says anything about Scorsese himself. But watching this movie, I started remembering, oh, even a lot of De Niro's roles are just assholes. Like, he was very comfortable early in his career and very good at playing assholes. And I don't know. Maybe I expected something different going in. Maybe I expected too much. It's got a 94 on Rotten Tomatoes, 8.2 on IMDb. I'm clearly on the island, and everyone thinks this movie is great. I can see technical artistry, but I did not enjoy myself.
I will say that this movie is not one that I go to revisit as much as I have Taxi Driver.
True.
I've watched. Me too. I know you said you didn't like Taxi Driver either, but Taxi Driver is a movie that I always can come back to. Raging Bull, maybe not the same pull. I haven't seen it, much like Barrett, I haven't seen it in a long time. So who knows? I think that's where Scorsese gets a lot of his praise, though, right? The technical aspects of everything that he shoots is amazing. The performances are always amazing.
Yep.
But yeah, if there's nobody to root for, if you find yourself in that position watching these movies, instead of it being just a character study,
yes,
you know, you want to say, hey, I want this guy to have a story arc where he changes in some way that is satisfying. But sometimes, you know, some people are just assholes and they never change. So
I think he has an arc. It's just asshole to devil.
He definitely
to devil.
It's funny because he gains the weight, right? And that's what the whole thing is famous for. But yeah, he becomes an absolute monster by the end of that movie. Isn't he undefeated by the end of that movie?
Because he throws a fight.
Oh, that's right.
Because the gangsters force him to throw a fight. But he beats the shit out of Pesci.
Right.
And then he turns around and beats the shit out of his own wife.
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Technical artistry. I did not enjoy the viewing of it. I'm not trying to disparage the movie. I just can't Jeremy full recommend it without those caveats.
I like that caveat. Mm-hmm. Did he win the Oscar that year?
Nope. That we actually talked about this, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
With Ordinate.
And by the time this comes out, it'll be 8 weeks ago. But
yeah, right.
Ordinary People was what won Best Picture, and Robert Redford won Best Director.
I was asking about De Niro, recently seen actually. That.
It was fantastic.
Did De Niro win the Oscar?
De Niro, no, I don't think so. De Niro won his Oscar for was it Godfather 2 and then maybe Taxi Driver? I don't think he won for this.
Good in Godfather 2. He's good in that. Was it the War on Grandpa? He won for that.
He was just nominated for an Oscar.
Nominated. He's kind of like Meryl Streep, De Niro.
Yeah, it's Ricky and the Flash and The War with Grandpa.
So, he did win for Raging Bull. And he won for Godfather 2, yes, and Raging Bull. So yes.
Yeah, and Raging Bull was kind of where that whole mythology of like if you gain or lose weight for a role, then you're guaranteed at least a nomination, most likely a win. Because he did, I mean, he gained 60 pounds, something like that. It's an appreciable, because he was carved out of wood, to paraphrase Ed Norton in Fight Club. He was cut up at the beginning of the movie, and then he became a big old fat bastard.
There's a great scene in there though where he's mad that Pesci has booked him for a fight at 155 because he's over that weight, and he's again belittling Pesci. You're a fucking moron. Why do I stay around with you? Why'd you book this fight for me? And then Pesci just goes off about why fighting this guy is 10 times better than fighting the next heaviest guy he could fight. And he ends the whole thing by saying, just fucking stop fucking eating. Just stop fucking eating.
I remember stop that scene. Eating. Pesci may have been nominated too. Pesci's, by the way, if you know Pesci most from Goodfellas, this is the antithesis of that role. He is kind-hearted. That's one of the only times that he really like breaks down and it's like, don't stop.
He was indeed nominated for that.
Yeah, wow. He's great.
Three nominations total, The Irishman and Goodfellas. He won for Goodfellas. So, continuing this Jean-Paul Belmondo thing, That Man from Rio, this movie is fucking bonkers.
Ooh, I love bonkers.
It was made, I believe, during the time that James Bond was becoming a huge thing. So they made what kind of is a play on James Bond. Spielberg watched this movie 9 times, apparently. And you can see influences on Indiana Jones in this movie. But this movie's bonkers. It's about so Belmondo plays a guy who's coming. He's got shore leave and he gets off the train and he's going to go meet his lady. That's what they always do.
I can't wait to get some shore leave so I can get some goddamn poontang.
His lady gets kidnapped. She goes out to do something with her car, and a guy grabs her and drives off with her. And Belmondo gets out and gets on a random motorcycle outside. I believe it's the cop's motorcycle, and to chase after this car. And there's this pretty awesome chase through Paris all the way through this, where he's chasing after where his girlfriend is. He even gets on, catches up to go to, because they go to the airport. Her kidnappers take her to the airport. He gets a ticket and gets on her plane and everything. And he tells the people like, hey, you know, that's my girlfriend. She was kidnapped. And so they're like, okay, well, we'll bring you over there and we'll find out. He goes over and says, hey, it's me. Don't you remember? And she doesn't remember him for some reason. Mm. This whole movie is just absolutely fucking nuts. It's funny throughout. It feels Airplane and like what would later inspire movies like Airplane and things like that. There's this funny moment where he finally gets back with his girlfriend, and they're still going cross country and trying to, you know, solve this whatever's going on and everything. And they're talking to this kid, the kid's like, I can get you guys a car. And he goes, well, whatever the lady wants or whatever, whatever you want. The kid's like, whatever the lady wants. And the lady's like, I don't know. And then Belmondo goes, probably a green car with pink stars on it. Next scene, they're in a green car with pink stars on it. Driving towards
nice.
Nice. There's just a lot of stuff that comes out of nowhere. I'm trying to remember what the actual, there's, this is a the actual overriding thing that's going on, the plot of this movie is a statue is stolen from a museum, and there's three statues that together open up this thing. You can hear the Indiana Jones in this as it's going on. So the girlfriend works at the museum, and that's why the cops are talking to her at the beginning of the movie. So they're chasing after this guy who's got these statues, and he wants to open up this thing to get these diamonds. I believe it opens up. The legend is that if you get them all together, you get this treasure trove of diamonds. So it's them chasing after this. Then the aliens show up, and then you can really see where Spielberg was influenced. If you want a movie that you're just sitting there, just laughing and smiling all the way through it, That Man from Rio is that kind of movie. I think this is both right up your alleys, especially Jeremy. I think Jeremy would love this movie. I almost want you to watch it in the next couple of days, because that's how much I think you'd enjoy it. That Man from Rio.
When did this come out? Roundabout
1964, I believe.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So this is when Belmondo he's become probably famous from Breathless at this point.
He's a suave motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. And others. But it's just one of those movies that I can see Jeremy watching and be like his French White Christmas. Like, you know, something nice. That is like, there is a French film that I watch all the time, guys. That Man from Rio.
It looks like it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. That little movie night really made me want to go find some more Belmondo films, because he's fucking great. So, that's another recommend.
You know what I'm always up for? I'm going to bring this home on a positive note. Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I'm always up for? And I do not discount, is a farce. This sounds almost like what you're talking about with That Man from Rio, even though it's got a little more teeth to it. But I'm up for a farce. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. I'll watch it. So last Sunday morning, you know, Sunday morning, sometimes you wake up, you turn on the TV and you're like, I'm gonna watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did that on Sunday, and I came across a movie called Envy.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I'm trying to remember.
Are you going to recommend this movie?
So this is 2004.
Oh no!
It's 2004. This was, now listen to the pedigree for this thing. It's 2004. Directed by Barry Levinson. Almost not god tier, but substantial tier director Barry Levinson, starring Jack Black, starring Ben Stiller, with supporting performances by Amy Poehler, by Rachel Weisz, by Christopher Walken, not just me in a role that's just a cameo or anything like that. This is real Christopher Walken, and this has got good people in this. This is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, thank God.
Now, I couldn't stop watching it because I tried to talk myself into it as a farce, as a morality play, as a something, because it is about envy. Jack Black and Ben Stiller work together at 3M or something like that, one of those big companies. Mm-hmm. And then Jack Black invents something that makes poo disappear. for real, it's a spray that you spray on dung and it disappears. He becomes rich and famous. Ben Stiller becomes the titular Envy. He becomes the Kevin Spacey of this tale. The Seven version, not the awful version. The different awful version. I'm digging myself a hole. All right.
Yes.
So Ben Stiller is married to Rachel Weisz, who is perfectly fine until she gets a little taste of that and the envy, and then a little bit of the money. And then Jack Black, he's married to Amy Poehler, and Amy Poehler wants to run for office, much like her Parks and Rec stuff. And Christopher Walken, hey, I hope everybody's sitting down. He plays a crazy person.
What?
With long hair and weird affectations. Now, I know that's a shock, because this is a man, especially in the 2000s and the late 90s, that is known for his gravitas. But no, he plays a weirdo. This movie is balls. There's nothing to it. It's awful. It's 8% aggregate on Rotten Tomatoes. It's probably negative on IMDb. I haven't even looked it up because I don't want to. I don't want to spend any more time talking about this or thinking about it. But I had to get it off my chest, because it's a terrible movie with a lot of talented people, and I hate it when that happens, and it did, and avoid it at all cost.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I can't remember if I saw this. It did come out while I was working at theaters, but I don't know if I ever saw this. There was a period of time where it seemed like a lot of these guys, the so-called frat pack of actors, were coming out with these, you know, like low rent comedies that, you know, wasn't befitting of their status whatsoever, but yeah. They still found theatrical releases. And Envy seemed like one of those.
Jeremy, you saw it?
Oh, I saw it. I saw it. It's bad. Even the production values felt bad. Like you said, beneath their stature, it just felt like A-listers on a Hallmark movie set.
Yes, the set looks like it was probably made for $800 with like a couple of them chipping in to like screw some screws in some plywood.
There was another movie with Ben Stiller around this time where they go into I've got to look at this.
He made a couple of these.
Yeah, he made quite a few. But it was around this time. What was this movie called? Of course, Ben Stiller has his producer credits first.
The Watch was one of them, but that was after kind of his post Night of the Museum
Duplex
Renaissance. Yeah, Duplex. Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore.
He had
like a bunch of these that were coming out around that time, and it just I don't know.
He can't help himself, man. He'll do a tower heist for every every Friends and Neighbors that he does. And listen, it's his own career, man. Do your thing. I know he's talented though, and it sucks that he's doing an Envy and a tower heist and a Night of the Museum 9 or like a fucking Duplex.
You know what I realized the other day? Night at the Museum is just Indian in the cupboard at a museum.
Yeah. Yes.
The little figurines come to life.
You're correct.
Just ripped off the Indian in the cupboard completely.
God, I haven't thought about that. Well, I haven't. Is there a movie adaptation? I just read the book.
Indian in the Cupboard?
Yeah, there is one.
There's a movie out. It's good.
Came out in like 1993.
Yeah, it's really charming. Yeah.
You're absolutely right about that. Yeah. That's insane. Yeah. We've covered some good ground today, folks.
We at least covered some ground.
To go back over what everybody recommended, warned, and whatever, Barrett Recca warned Dave Chappelle, the closer. I think more leaning towards the warn on that one.
Yeah.
And then he warned the Barry Levinson classic Envy.
First time anyone has talked about that movie since 2004.
That's correct. That is correct. Jeremy, I don't think surprisingly, Recca warned Raging Bull. This is not a Jeremy movie. I totally understand that's not for everybody. So yeah, he Recca warned Raging Bull. Yeah, that's right. The Martin Scorsese movie. He Recca warned that.
I did.
He ain't scared. He ain't fucking scared. And he recommended. See, he recommended the Muppets Haunted Mansion. He Recca warned Raging Bull.
I did.
Recommended Muppets Haunted Mansion.
This is why context matters, people, because if you took that out of context, Jeremy's like, Muppets Haunted Mansion is much better than Raging Bull.
That's correct. I recommended The Professional, not the 1994 version, but 1981. Yes, which is also good. 1981 version, Jean-Paul Belmondo, and then also recommended That Man from Rio, also starring Belmondo. Those are both excellent movies. You will not be disappointed.
Was that the theme? Was the Belmondo theme?
I think so, because
movie club.
I think so, and I don't know if this had anything to do with it, but he died a month or so ago, and by the time this comes out, it'll be about 2 months from now. He died. I don't think he said that, but I remember going through the IMDb while one of the movies was running, and I was like, oh shit, he died in like September. That was the theme, a couple of his movies, and they're great. They are great. Okay. That's going to do it for this week. Keep going to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter, Discord, and SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And there's a little tuning fork, Jeremy, over there. That's going to do it for this week. It's Chris Atkins and Jeremy Scott and Barrett Scherer. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
I can't believe that you misread...
Oh, Jesus.
The rant, and had chambered a rant about Printers. Like, that was already ready to go, baby.
I mean, that was the thing, right? I don't care if I stole it.
It's mine, like, now, baby. So Appalachian State is my adopted team, and they're right up here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's in Boone, gotcha. North Carolina. If you probably remember they beat Michigan, like, what was it? Now it's been probably 10, 11 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like at Michigan opening week or something like that when Michigan was ranked number 5. And that's mm-hmm. when they rose to prominence. Now, weirdly, I had a girlfriend in weirdly enough, I had a girlfriend.
That is weird. But, that's weird.
It was weird. Weirdly enough, I had a girlfriend in a sophomore year in high school that when she graduated, she went to Appalachian State. And the first time I ever heard of Appalachian State, I was like, what the fuck is that all about? Mm-hmm. And she was like, it's in Boone, kind of a hippie town and that kind of thing. And she went, and then I heard a few other people went, and then I saw that kind of uprising in Michigan, and they've had a great football team ever since. And so we started coming up here to Blowing Rock or around here and started going up to Boone because Boone's a really cool town. And I've kind of developed an affection for Appy State over the years.
Mm-hmm.
They've kind of become I almost follow them more than Louisville at this point, because Louisville's mm-hmm. just consistently disappointing on every level, like coaching mm-hmm. and admin and I don't know.
Yeah.
Uniforms,
right?
But Appy mm-hmm. State, yeah, that's my diatribe on Appy State, kids. Put it in the bank.
Mm-hmm. Yo, either one of you ever been to Manel's?
Yes.
Yeah, man. I went past that not too long ago. We went to a birthday party.
I have been there once, and it was very good. I don't know if it was, you know, so good that I had to go back again, but it was good. The only thing I tend to, this kind of thing makes me feel uncomfortable, though, the way they do things there. Then you go in. And you share a table with a whole bunch of other parties and you pass around food. And I went, this is how I knew, by the way, that Donald Trump was going to win more states than people thought he was.
Huh.
Because I was at a table with a guy who was like a tour bus driver and then like a part of a traveling band of either Branford or Winston Marsalis. I can't remember which Marsalis it was.
Really?
Yeah, they were. Marsalis. Yeah. And we're all sitting there enjoying, you know, whatever brunch or whatever. And I think it had to have been 2016 because yeah, Trump had not been elected yet, but yeah, the tour bus driver guy was like, I'm voting for Trump. He tells the truth, blah, blah, blah. And I was just sitting there going, I can't believe we've got people who love Trump this much.
I'm going to have to share breakfast with their asses.
Right. Well, and I don't think Trump had necessarily become ultra toxic by this point. It was kind of a joke that he was even in the running. I don't know. I don't remember having the same kind of like, you know, shivers down my spine, hearing his name that I did later. Although I think, honestly, he had said a lot of crazy fucking ridiculous shit at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he started off with crazy ridiculous shit, but yeah, you're right. It got worse.
Yeah.
Later on, you know.
But I just remember because I went to a poker game and somebody was like, Trump's not going to win one state. And I kept thinking back to this dude at Monell's who said he was going to vote for Trump because he speaks the truth and he tells it like it is and all that. And I was like, that sounds like something a lot of people think. I was just downing that barbecue, man. I was like, rah, 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 rah.
Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Tell me what to do.
I don't want to make my own brunch.
Make your own brunch.
Fuck you.
Make your own fucking brunch. Do monkey bread. Do bacon. Do fucking
monkey bread.
Just put a bunch of scramby eggs with a bunch of chives in there, and like do your own brunch, man.
I'm gonna do my own meal. I'm just not gonna do the brunch. I'm gonna do like a big grill out.
Do the brunch.
Can eat my ass, dude. What is your glitch?
Your brunch will be better than anything that you can get at other, well, most brunch spots. Yeah. Like Adele's, I think, is like otherworldly brunch.
The I'm looking
at some pretty good stuff here.
That Simpsons where Marge runs into the guy at the bowling alley who's trying to seduce her and everything, and is like, it's like, I'm going to brunch tomorrow, and he's like, and she's like, what's that? It's a lot like breakfast, it's a lot like lunch, but there's a slice of cantaloupe at the end.
We hate Jumper, right? We kind of hate Jumper. We kind of hate Jumper, right?
I mean, it's not good.
It's not good, but I got a little something for it.
Yeah.
It's not like terrible. I can't tell you how many extra ones I have at this point. I could make a whole fucking new collection with my extra ones at this point.
Are they on the shelves with your regular ones, or do you just have them somewhere else?
I have a bunch in a little cabinet space underneath my TV in my bedroom, and I have a few others in the office on another shelf that's not being used currently.
Your extra shelf?
I had the ones that I had before I bought another big one. Those got full. And I bought another big one. So I've got two big shelving things in the office. When I got all the Blu-rays and everything onto those shelves, there was this one that I had taken all a bunch of Blu-rays off of that didn't have anything on it anymore. But it, you know, if you know, things keep going the way they're going, that will end up being used as well. And I need to start getting some real professional shelving in here to make this shit look good.
Jeremy, are you still looking up brunch spots? You're not even paying attention right now. You're looking up brunch spots.
Paying attention to what? I'm fully engaged in a conversation about Cal's awesome roulette table. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. No, you're looking at brunch spots.
Because I'm trying to book brunch for my family.
Because you're like a big bear. The brunch.
What?
Why don't you have it catered? Wait, there's got to be good catering out there. Just bring the lunch.
I'll just call them on a Thursday, and they'll be here Sunday.
Oh, you going to the Gulch, baby?
Yeah, it's
You must love your family if you're going to the Gulch.
Well, I figure on Sunday it'll only be twice as bad as normal.
Yeah. So yeah, really makes all the sense in the world.
Oh man, maybe we'll just park and walk to the Gulch. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Can do that.
The Gulch actually has good parking. You can find like free garage. Well, at least the last time I went there, you can find a free garage and walk really wherever.
I'll just valet that shit, probably. Actually, I may not with my new ride. It's my precious. I gotta protect it. I can't let no. I don't know what the slang term for. What's like a hateful term for valets?
Let's come up with one.
Key jockey. Does that work?
It works right now.
There it went away. I don't want no filthy key jockey in my car.
I don't know why, but that didn't sound right.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. But I think it's a proper derogatory name. I think it is.
Something's not right.
Cy Sperling is his name. He died last year, 2020.
That's a shame.
He was 78 years old.
Beautiful head of hair, though.
But yes, UHF, much like Princess Bride and Monty Python, the Holy Grail, I attribute to my brother and the girl he was dating at the time. Because they used to rent videos and I would be around to watch them. And so Monty Python, yeah, those three movies. So I guess I was like 12 when I saw all those movies. The reason why those are like UHF and Monty Python, especially. And of course I like Princess Bride and everything. It doesn't mean as much to me as those other ones, but, I've watched Monty Python and UHF a bunch since. Of course, I've seen Princess Bride a bunch since too. But UHF is one of those. I wouldn't call it a good movie, but it's funny, man. There's so many little funny things. There's a lot of dumb things in it, but there's so many little funny things in it. I was going through that because it was there's a part in F9 where an army shows up and just cannot hit anybody they cannot shoot anybody. It's one of the worst examples of being unable to hit people that I have ever seen in my life. And so I immediately recalled UHF during the Rambo, during the Rambo scene where he's walking towards this guy who's like, and like when it finally shows them like in one shot, he's like shooting at him like 3 feet away and missing. And so I put that clip in the script so that they'll show it side by side with F9.
Nice.
But that Rambo parody in UHF is fucking great.
Today on Jeremy Book's Reservations. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, just shut the fuck up. No reservations.
What? That's a disappointing movie.
I think he was doing that. We're talking about way too many different things here.
We are.